Listen, I've never known God to give anybody patience because they prayed for it. But I have seen people pray for patience stuck in traffic jams. I have seen people pray for patience and have testing in their life that would grow the patience. Because listen, the fruit is grown by experience.
Welcome to A Word from God with your host and teacher, James Lindley.
The title of this episode is The Parable of the Sower and was recorded live at the Word from God Bible Church in Springfield, Missouri.
Hi, this is Misha Pelkey, and before we get started, I want to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. Drop him a line via email at james@awordfromgod.net. That email again is james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. That address again is James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. Now here's your host and teacher, James Lindley.
All right, so today's sermon is Parable of the Sower. And its key verse is in Luke chapter 8, verses 4 through 15. If everybody want to turn to your Bibles, and please stand for the reading of God's Word, those of you who can stand. While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds of the air ate it up. Some fell on rock, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seeds fell along thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still, other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop, 100 times more than was sown. When he said this, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." His disciples asked him what this parable meant. He said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that though seeing, they may not see, though hearing, they may not understand. This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart, who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. Y'all may be seated. Father in heaven, we come to you today. We thank you, Lord. God, I would pray that you would root in our heart your word today, and that you would anoint me to speak your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so we're going to go over some of this parable with you today. And this might be a little bit longer sermon than normal, but I really believe that this is going to be a blessing if we open our hearts today and we receive from God's word. First of all, I want to go over what the parable teaches us. This parable teaches us, number one, the mysteries of God will not be given to everyone, but only to those with a noble and good heart. Not everybody is going to get the mysteries of God. If you ever witness to somebody and they're just not getting it, it's because they're not lined up in their hearts with God. So Jesus' disciples were seeking after him, were they not? They were seeking after him, weren't they? They were seeking after him. In our own lives, we must seek after God if we want to hear from him. Come on, guys. If you want to talk to somebody on the telephone, you got to pick it up and start dialing numbers, right? If you want to talk to somebody, you got to seek after them, right? Okay. So Jesus' disciples, they were seeking after him. They were asking him what this parable meant. They didn't get it right away either, but they sought, they seeked, and they found. His disciples loved him and were willing to trust and obey him. Now see, too many times we go to God and we're asking him questions, but you know what? We don't really trust him. We don't really trust him. And you know what? I tell you what, even if we do trust him, we're not ready to obey him when he gives us the answer. His disciples loved him, and they were willing to trust and obey him. Listen to this, guys. If you don't have trust for God, then you're not going to be listening to what he has to say to you. That's the bottom line, all right? And you're not going to be willing to obey him. No, honestly, if you don't trust the doctor, are you going to follow his prescription? You might not even fill the prescription. You might stay sick because you just have your own idea about medicine. I know people like that. Their hearts were open to God's word. Now listen, guys, if you want to hear from God, you got to have an open heart. You got to have an open mind. But you have got to be focusing on what God is saying to you and have an open heart to it. Your heart can't be callous. It can't be hard. All right. If you get a hard heart, you're not going to be listening to what God is saying to you. You're not going to be trusting what God's saying to you, and you're not going to be obeying what God's saying to you because your heart is callous. All right. You get the heart of the world in you. You got sin in your heart. You're living out of sync with God because something in your life is keeping you from God because there's a sin in your life. Your heart's not open. That sin is blocking what you're hearing from God. But their hearts were open to God's word. Their hearts were open. That's why they were learning. Look, we got a lot of stuff from the disciples, didn't we? He used these 12 men that ended up being 11 to spread the entire gospel. And even the one that ended up being the devil, as he called him, Judas, was used by the kingdom of God. So these disciples, they were learning from Jesus, and they took what they learned, and we have the gospel today because of them. People have to battle the flesh as well as Satan in order to grow in God's word. Did you know that you can't blame everything on the devil? You'd like to. How many times you guys heard the saying, the devil made me do it? Well, guess what? I got news for you. I've read the Bible, and I have not read anywhere in it that the devil made anybody do anything. Now, he talked people into stuff, but he didn't physically make them do it. They chose to do the sinful things that he suggested to them. And that's because people are battling the flesh. There are fleshly desires, okay, that we have as human beings that creep up in our soul that says, go ahead and do that. It'll be fun. It'll be enjoyable. I'm telling you the truth. It's true. We do battle the flesh. There are things inside of us that we can't blame on the devil. There's thoughts inside of our mind that the devil didn't put there. They were already there. We were already thinking it. Some people think that the devil's after them, and they themselves are their worst enemy. The devil ain't even thinking about that person because he knows they're on the wrong track. Why would he waste his energy on somebody that's already thinking bad stuff already? He got bigger things to do than to worry about somebody that's already lost. So people have to battle the flesh as well as Satan in order to grow in God's word. Now listen, there are things in your life you're going to have to put off. There are things in your life that you're going to have to say no to. Do you understand that? There are some things you're going to have to deny yourself to. A perfect example is if you got to get up early to pay attention in church, you got to go to bed early. Turn off that TV. Turn off them movies you're watching. Don't fill your head full of that junk music. When you're all riding away from church, you're cranking that stuff up. People think it's the second coming because the dead are rising out of their graves. You got it so loud. But we have to battle the flesh. We have to say no to it. We have to say, listen, I want the things of God. I want the discipline of God in my life. You have to say no to the flesh. The flesh is self-destructive. Don't you know that? It'll lead you into self-destruction. Number three, God's word is not to be kept to oneself, but rather shared by Christians. Stop hogging it for yourselves. Y'all greedy with God's word. You see somebody out there and you know that they're lost and they need God's word. Share it with them. Say some of God's word into their life. Don't you know that God's word is power? Don't you know that God's word is life itself? Jesus said that my words bring life. You want to bring life to somebody's life? Give them God's word. Don't hold it all back for yourself. Don't be ashamed of Jesus. Don't be ashamed to stand up for the word of God. Say something to somebody out of God's word. Share it. We are called to witness. Are we not? We're called to be witnesses for Christ. So it's not to be kept to oneself, but rather shared by Christians. Number four, laziness, as well as busyness, can hinder a person's response to God's word. But both are equally dangerous to the growth of a Christian. Both are equally dangerous to the growth of a Christian. Listen, on one side, you got the lazy person who doesn't want to seek after God, who doesn't want to read their Bible, who doesn't want to participate in church. They want to stay home on Sunday in bed or watch TV or do whatever they do on a Sunday. They don't want to engage in Christian life. They're lazy. They don't want to go. They don't want to go to bed on time on Saturday night. They want to come to church tired, rubbing their eyes, sleep coming out of them. They don't want to drive to church. I don't want to drive to church. It's too far. It's at least 4 blocks. I'm serious. Now this lazy. But then there's the other person. I'm too busy. I'm too busy to come to church. I'm too busy to read my Bible. I'm too busy to witness for Christ. You see what I'm saying? You could have somebody that's not lazy and still be hindered in God, in the Word of God. It's dangerous, okay? And both of these traits, being too busy and being too lazy, they will hinder you. They will hinder you and your growth as a Christian. You have to watch out for these traps. Number five, this parable teaches us that hearing God's word does not always produce fruits in a person. Wouldn't that be great if I could just sit up here and preach the word of God and everybody just grow fruits of the Spirit? Wouldn't that be just wonderful? But see, again, it's up to the person individually. Everybody likes to talk about free will. I got free will. Well, yes, you do. And if your heart is callous, and I'm up here speaking to you, or if you're too lazy to hear what I'm saying, or you're too busy in your own mind to pay attention, guess what's going to happen? There's going to be no fruits yielded. No fruits. You know, we come to church to water our fruits. Number six, the parable teaches us that we should not take the preaching and teaching of God's word lightly. Listen, guys. Church is a serious business. God's word is a serious business. When God puts somebody in your life who's delivering his word, your ears and your eyes should be open. This is serious stuff. This is serious stuff. Listen, you think God wastes his time with people? He's got a purpose. Every time that God comes to you with his word, it's God himself showing up. Is God not the word? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So when the Word of God shows up in your life, it's God himself. Now, I don't know about you, but when I go to visit somebody, I have a reason for it. And when I go to visit somebody, I don't want to just be put off, especially if this person calls me friend. So when God shows up in your life through his Word, are you putting him off? We should not take this lightly. When you come to church, you should be serious about it. I'm not saying that church shouldn't be fun. I'm saying that we should be serious about what we're hearing in church. And not just from me. We're fellowshipping here. There's other Christians in this room. And we can learn something from everybody in here. We can learn something from everybody in this room. Anybody that speaks the word of God, we should be listening to what God is speaking through that person. So don't take it lightly, folks. God is not playing a game with your life. You might be playing a game with your life, but God's not. This is serious stuff. Life is serious. And it's terminal. How many of you know that life is terminal? Why do you think God put a time limit on your life? Because you would never straighten up if he didn't. Let's be serious. If you all knew right now that you were never going to die, y'all wouldn't even care about the Word of God. Because that's how people are. That's human nature. That's why God shortened lifespan. That's why he told Adam and Eve, if you do this against me, you will surely die. Adam and Eve were not built and designed to die. God changed things after they sinned. Now you have an expiration date. And God is real smart because he didn't tell you what it was. Because now you got to be thinking, man, if I don't get straightened up pretty soon, you don't know what's going to happen, do you? It gets you thinking about stuff, don't it? Otherwise, who ponders things when there's no problems? You could live your life any way you wanted to, all against God. But there's an expiration date on your life and those around you. We're all on an expiration date, aren't we? Okay. Number two, this parable tells us of a sower. The sower is God. The sower in this parable is God. He is throwing the seed out there. See, y'all thought you were doing it. Well, I witnessed for Christ yesterday. No, you didn't. That was God. He was doing it through you. It's the Holy Ghost working through you. That's why Jesus said that the Father would send a helper, because you guys couldn't do it on your own. A sower. The sower is God. God is sowing these seeds. The parable tells us of his seed. What is it? The seed is the word of God. God is planting the word in people's lives. He's throwing it out there. You ever throw seed out on the lawn and watch the birds come and eat it? I hate that. And you paid good money for that seed. And it seems like they know it too. It's like they got little calculators and they're adding it up. Oh, this is the good stuff. And they leave the neighbor stuff alone. They're all in your yard, eating your seed. This parable tells us of four kinds of soil. And listen, the soil is a metaphor for the people's heart. See, God knows what's in your hearts. Some of y'all don't even know what's in your heart. I'm not even sure what's in my heart. That's why God brings tests to us. Testing is to show us what's in our heart. Did you know that? God already knows what's in your hearts. So testing comes along to show us what's in our hearts. You guys didn't know that, did you? Why God tests you? It's because you're not seeing something's wrong in your heart. And when a test comes along, that ugly boils to the top. You need to turn up the heat and you boil water. That it starts coming up from the bottom, don't it? And then you start looking, you see how dirty that pan was. Well, there's dirt in that pan. Well, God turns up the heat in your life, and guess what comes bubbling to the top? The ugly in your heart. You're not fooling them. And of course, this parable tells of four different results. See, you all thought it was a happy ending for everybody, didn't you? Number three, this third section, there are four types of soil, and this is what I want to go over today. This is an important section here. Along the path or the wayside. That's one type of soil. Verse 5, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds of the air ate it up. These people hear the word in a superficial way. They hear, but they do not understand. They hear, but they don't understand. And it's just gobbled up. It's like talking to a wall. It's talking to a wall. They don't get it. They're not even seeking the answer. They're not even trying to get it. You ever talk to somebody like that? You ever see somebody in school failing and you're trying to help them and you know they're a smart person, but they just don't want to understand it? Well, let me help you with your math. I don't get it. But you're not even trying. I don't want to try. Well, then go ahead and fail. It's a waste, isn't it? It's a waste. Might as well just be throwing seed out on your lawn. Let the birds get it. The birds represent Satan in this parable, who snatches away the word from those whose hearts are hardened. I worked in a college, three of them. And I saw people there for one purpose and one purpose only. They wanted a piece of paper that said they went through college. But they didn't care anything about their subject that they were going to school for. And you know what? When they graduated, they didn't produce much fruit because they couldn't do the job that they supposedly went to school for. What a waste. They went back to low-paying jobs that were beneath their degree level. Now see, you can have a person that goes to church and they can call themselves a Christian, just like you can have a person who goes to school and they call themselves a student. But let's be honest, some of us go to school here, right? And we know that not everybody that goes to school is as smart as their grade level says they should be. See, we're laughing because we know. Satan is working in these people's lives to steal away the word. These people are blinded by Satan to the gospel. Do you hear that? They're blinded. They're so wrapped up in self and in sin that Satan's got them blinded. They couldn't see if they had superpowered glasses on. You ever just meet up with somebody and you could feel evil spirits all over them? And you know that if you even mention Christ, they might just bop you one. I've talked to people like that. They want to rip your head off if you talk about Jesus to them. You can't get through to them. Talk all day long, and they just look at you like you're crazy, an annoyance. They don't want you around. And then they start avoiding you. Although Satan contributes to their blindness, it is precipitated by their own hardness of heart. See, he can't do it unless they're letting him. He can't make them. They're willing participants in it. Their hearts were already hardened. All he had to do was step into their lives and make sure that it didn't get soft. Don't be listening to the devil now. Because see, some of you think, well, when the devil tells me to do something mean, I just won't listen to him. No, he's going to tell you to do something fun. See, you're going to look at it and say, wow, that's enjoyable. Yeah, I'm going to do that. That's not mean. Nobody's going to get hurt. And I can handle this. That's the devil talking. Don't you know that'll be fun? Now, seriously, Satan will get into these people's hearts and keep them hard against the gospel. Okay, so there are four types of soil. The second type is rock. The rock hearers hear God's word, but they are too hard-hearted to allow the truth to break them. It's a little bit different. Okay? Listen, there are people out there that are just plain mean, selfish, and proudful. You're not going to change my lifestyle. And I am fine without the gospel. I don't need God. You ain't going to come into my life and tell me something that you think I need to know. Come on, you've met people like that. You guys have. You spend time with people like that. When you leave their presence, you think they're full of themselves. They're overbearing. And you can't wait to get away from them. In fact, you hang around them long enough, you're even scared to even say anything to them. Because you ain't going to change their mind about nothing, are you? These are the kind of people that you could show them where they're wrong, and they will boldface lie to you to prove their own point. They're hard-hearted. You can't get through to them. These are the people that will ask you for your advice on something and then tell you you're wrong when you give it to them. Now, why did you ask me? Y'all been there with somebody, haven't you? Why did you even ask me? They already got their minds made up. The third type of soil is thorns. They hear the word but can't bear fruit because, now you guys need to listen to this. A, the cares of this world. Listen to what it says in Matthew 6, verses 25 and 26. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink. Listen, why do you think Jesus is telling us that? This is Jesus speaking in Matthew. Because the cares of this world will choke the word of God. If God told you that he's going to take care of you like he does in Philippians 4:19, if God tells you that promise, but you all worried about everything, that's going to choke that word. See, that's a promise. But your worries take over that promise. They drown it out. Next thing you know, you're not acting on God's word. You're acting on your own fleshy desires. Well, I know that God told me that he'd take care of me and he'd give me all my needs. But if I don't cheat this person, if I don't lie in this situation, well, I could be doomed. I may not get what I want, when I want it, how I want it, where I want it, with whom I want it with. No, I better do something against God's word because I'm just so worried. I just don't think that God is going to come through on this. I just got to do the wrong thing so I can get the right stuff for my life. We don't want to think like that, guys. That's choking the word. I promise you right now, you obey God and leave the consequences up to him, and you will never go wrong. B, the deceitfulness of riches. Listen to what Matthew 6:24 says. No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. There's people out there that are greedy for money. And they will make life decisions based on how much money they're going to make out of it. And they may not be their own life decision. It may be one of yours life decisions. You follow what I'm saying? There's people out there so greedy that they'll, if they had the power to make a decision against your life for the negative, okay, they would do it in order for them to gain. Stepping on the little man. Now, there's nothing wrong with riches. I'm all for a person being blessed. I'm happy when I see a person who's acquired wealth from honest, hard work. It's when the person becomes deceitful and evil in their ways to obtain that riches that I have a problem. Nobody wants to be stepped on. But I have nothing against people who prosper. I think that if a person works hard enough, they should prosper. They deserved it. They earned it, right? C, pleasures of life. How many of us fall in this category? Galatians chapter 5, verse 17, for the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. Listen, you got the Holy Spirit inside of you telling you, uh-uh, don't go to that party. Don't listen to that music. Don't cuss out that coworker. But the flesh is sitting there saying, oh, but they got it coming. Oh, but this music is so good. And there's nobody around watching me. Nobody knows how I live my life in secret. I mean, I know I shouldn't, and I really don't want to, but I do. This is what this is talking about. This is like the cartoon where the devil's on one shoulder and the angel's on the other. And some of us have two devils on one shoulder outdoing the angel. Some of us have an earplug on the side where the angel's at. But you want to do the right thing in the spirit, but the flesh wants to party hardy. So pleasures of life can stop us from bearing fruit. Another type of soil is good ground. So this is the stuff that we want. We want the good ground. Verse 15, but the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. Now, why did Jesus add persevering in there? Because, listen, walking with Christ is a challenge. Not because it's the wrong thing to do, but because it's the right thing to do, and you live in a sinful world. The whole world around you is fallen. And when you try to get out of sync with something, you're going against the grain. So it becomes harder to do, right? When you go against everybody else goes against you, don't they? And they may not even do it in such a way that it's obvious. Just in case some of you are thinking that the world's going to come up against you in a ferocious way, they can also come up against you in a sneaky way. You know, you can have friends that can talk you into stuff that you don't want to do. And you, being a Christian, know you shouldn't do it. But you got those friends whispering in your ear. And your flesh wants to give in to it. But listen, guys, if we hear the word of God and we retain it, and then we persevere, we'll produce a crop. Okay? What kind of fruit will one bear? What kind of fruit am I talking about here? The fruit of winning souls to Christ. Don't you guys want that fruit produced and grown up and matured in your life where you can win people to Jesus Christ? That God anoints you with the power to draw people into his kingdom? That's one fruit we'll bear. The fruit of practical holiness. Holiness means to be set apart. We're holy people. We're set apart from the rest of the world. We're not supposed to be hanging around unbelievers and doing what they're doing. if we're not witnessing to them and shining the Christ of light into their lives, what are we doing with these people? What does the light have to do with the darkness? No. Practical holiness is a fruit in Romans 6:22. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. Now listen, holiness means to be set apart, right? In the last day, when God splits the people, you're going to have the holy people on one side, and you're going to have the unbelievers on another. We're going to be wholly set apart. We're going to be set apart. Christians are going to be set apart from the evils of this world. You're not going to have to deal with it anymore. So why are you dealing with it now? You get what I'm saying? Why are you allowing this evil to creep into your character? You don't want it. You don't need it. You don't need to be a mean, nasty, rotten person, do you? What joy is that? You want the peace that surpasses all understanding, not only in your life, but you want it to flow over to other people's lives too, from you. So you want the fruit of practical holiness. You want people to look at you and go, man, there's something different about him or her. Look at this guy over here. What's wrong with him? Why is he so holy? Look at this lady over here. Why is this woman so holy? Why is this woman so holy? I can just tell by looking at her, there's something different about her. But you want people to look at you and say, there's something different about that person. And listen, if that person who's looking is an unbeliever, they're not going to like what they see. Because they're going to feel judged by God's word. And guess what? They're under the judgment. But now, what if another Christian saw you? And they say to themselves, I should straighten up because look at that person. Look at the holiness that this person is displaying in their life. I need to get my act together. See, you got to be an example, not just for the unbelievers, but for the believers as well. You want more people in church? Let them see a change in your life. Don't go to work cussing. Don't go to work complaining. Don't go to work cheating and lying and stealing. Don't do that. Because you know why? Nobody at your workplace is going to look at you and see a benefit to come to your church. Quit doing that, guys, because I'm going to tell you what, you're not here to impress me. You're not here to impress people outside of this church. You're here to be a light for God. A light for God. You are a holy people, so you need to be acting like holy people. Not better than everybody. Forget that nonsense. You ain't better than nobody. God has no partiality to you, other than the fact that you're better off. You're better off as a believer. But you're not better than anybody. We're all sinners saved by grace. And I don't preach anything different in this church. Okay, so the fruit of sharing material things. Listen, guys, everything you have is not yours, all right? Because some of us have not learned the principle of sharing material things. We still think that it's all ours. D, the fruit of the Spirit, Christ-like character. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, meditate on that. Listen, guys, you want Christ-like character? These are the fruits he's going to grow in you. Love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Look at the one called faithfulness. What do you guys think that means? Faith in God? Well, yeah. But faithfulness is a little bit different than faith, isn't it? Because faith is believing in. Faithfulness is being true too. You understand the difference? If you're faithful to your church, you'll show up every Sunday. If you're faithful to your church, you'll call your pastor up and ask, is there anything I can do for you? Is there anything I can help you with? If you're faithful to a person, you won't betray them. If you're faithful in your marriage, you won't break your vows in any way, shape, or form. You won't hurt the other person. If you're faithful in any kind of relationship, you won't hurt the other person. Faithfulness is a fruit. Listen, even when the flesh tells you that you want to do something bad, faithfulness is the Spirit of God, the fruit of God's Spirit, telling you you don't have to do it. And I will give you the strength not to do it. E, the fruit of good works. That's another fruit that will be produced. You'll be going out into the world doing good things. The fruit of praise and thanksgiving, another fruit. Now, section 4, not all will bear the same amount of fruit. Okay? Some 100-fold, some 60, some 30, as Matthew 13:23 tells us. We're not all going to get the same amount of fruit. No, but not all of us will bear the same amount of fruit. So don't be looking around at people saying, ooh, I got more fruit than they do. As illustrated in the parable of the talents, some may be given more according to their ability to use what God has given them. And you'll find that in Matthew 25, verses 14 and 15. Now listen to this. You ever ask God why he's not using you? You ever say, well, God, I could do a better job than that person. How come you haven't given me that blessing? Well, listen to this. God is going to give you what he knows you're going to use. You think he's a wasteful person? You think God just wastes talents on people? When God puts a talent into you, it's because he knows you're going to use the ability that he gave you for his kingdom. And the amount of use that you're going to return back to the kingdom is the amount he's going to give you. God is going to give you the abilities according to the use that you're going to put them to. You want something out of God? Give it to him. Listen, when God gives you something, don't hold on to it so tightly. Ask God what he wants you to do with it. I've known a lot of talented people in music start out praising God and getting really good at music talent and then going off and singing ungodly songs in the world and joining ungodly bands. Wasting their talents. God didn't waste it. They did. They start out strong with the Lord, and then they say, well, what am I doing this for when I could make money singing this kind of music? And they jump sides. When God gives you something, don't hold on to it. Ask God, where do you want me to put this, God? Do you want me to invest this into your kingdom? Of course he does. That's with everything. That's your paychecks. That's your cars. That's your homes. That's your lives. God, I'm at school today. Now, I know I'm here to learn, but maybe you could use me today in your kingdom. God, I'm at work today, and I know that I have to make a living, but can I do something for you here today? Use me while I'm here. See, whatever our ability, we should exercise it accordingly, as found in 1 Peter 4, verses 10 and 11. Okay, so we're in conclusion here. Number one, we must open our hearts to hear God. We must remain rooted in God to continue bearing fruit. We must remain rooted in God to continue bearing fruit. How do we remain rooted? We read our word, we apply the word to our lives, and we apply the word to other people's lives, and we share the word, right? But how else do we remain rooted to God? Well, we fellowship with other believers, and we pray to the Lord continually. That doesn't mean before we go to bed and we say some ritual prayer. My Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We're not robots, guys. How'd you like it if I called you up every night? How are you doing? Good night. Have a blessed day. Click. You'd be like telling people, hey, if that's James on the phone, if that's not my caller ID, don't answer that phone. It's the same thing every night. Boring. Come on, man. You don't want your prayers boring to God. Talk to him like a person. He is a person, right? So we remain in God by praying. We remain in God by reading his word, applying his word, sharing his word. Number three, only God can grow fruit in us. I'm sorry, guys, to disappoint you. I know what you guys are thinking today. Some of you are thinking, I am going to bear a new fruit today. Today, I'm going to work on something. Today, I'm going to change my life. No, you're not. Sorry. You can't do it. Only God can grow the fruit in us. Listen, I've never known God to give anybody patience because they prayed for it. But I have seen people pray for patience stuck in traffic jams. I have seen people pray for patience and have testing in their life that would grow the patience. Because listen, the fruit is grown by experience. Now, God's going to look at your life and he's going to say, they need more patience, they need more kindness, they need more joy, they need something. And I'm going to start cutting away, pruning. You don't think he'll do it? Oh, he will do it. You have to do things sometimes out of love to grow a person. Now see, the reason why this is so important is that because you can get away with so much with God until his patience is done with. Because God is patient. But that doesn't mean he's a pushover either. And there comes a time when he says, it's time for you to grow. Because some of us think we're fooling God because we're fooling ourselves and we're falling for it, aren't we? But see, God puts us in uncomfortable situations so that we can look at ourselves and say, I need to work harder. Because God doesn't judge us. God doesn't say to us, well, gee, you know, you're just terrible at this. No, God says, look, you're good at this and you can be better. And I want to grow you. I want to grow you to be a witness, to be a worshiper. But only God can do it. Now, that doesn't mean he won't use other people around you. That doesn't mean that you won't go to work and some new person has a desk next to you and that person is just horrible. And they sat them right next to you and they just annoy you. And you want to pull your hair out. And you just got done telling somebody about what a great Christian you are. No, God will use people and circumstances in your life to grow your fruit. And it is scary. It can be painful. But it's always done in love. It's always done in love. We must use our fruits to serve God and others. See, that's what Jesus talks about when your cup runneth over. Listen, guys, it's not all about you. It's not all about me. I used to think it was, but it's not. It's about Jesus. And something that God has taught me, the reason why it's all about Jesus is because Jesus is all about us. See, when we give to Jesus, we're giving to others, aren't we not? That is not a selfish act. When I was a beginning Christian, I used to think, wait a minute, why should I use my talents and resources for God? Why does he get everything? What makes him so worthy? Well, these are questions I asked. I was a baby Christian. I was ignorant. And God had to show me the love he has for me and for others. So you're not the only one that God loves. And so when we give to the Lord, we're giving to others. And when we praise God in front of others and we give in front of others, they learn to give. They learn to praise. They learn, don't they? And then they grow fruits. So you see, we must use our fruits to serve God and others. We must do this, guys. We must use our fruits. But you can't use something you don't have. It is my prayer that everybody listening to the sound of my voice will hear this and come to God in prayer and ask God to start growing some fruits, that you will step up in your Bible reading, that you will open up your Bible and you will not just read it, but you will meditate on it, that you will dedicate every day a specific time that you will give to God in prayer and studying his word. And that you will take what you have learned and heard from the Lord in prayer and exercise it in your own life and other people's lives. Because I don't want anybody spinning their wheels like we're stuck in some kind of a mud trap. Because what happens when you spin your wheels? One, you don't go nowhere, do you? And two, you fling mud on everybody else. Let's not be Christians that spin our wheels. Let's not do that. We want to spread the word of God. We want to be a light. We want to have fruits in our lives that shine the character of Christ.
This is Misha again to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. You can contact him via email at james@awordfromgod.net. Again, that's james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri 65801. And be sure to visit us online at www.awordfromgod.net. I'm Misha Pelkey for A Word from God.
And I'm James Lindley. And I want to thank you for listening. And I pray that God will bless you immensely from this message.